Okay, turn back to Matthew chapter 22 with me. Barnard used to say, I got some notes here. I hope I don't have to use them. That's the way I feel this morning. It was always a mixed crowd wherever our Lord went, especially in the temple. On Sabbath day, everybody went to church back then like they do now. And there was a mixed crowd, people there for different reasons, just like people in here this morning for different reasons. There were your critics, those who weren't really interested, but merely critical. They were, the Pharisees and so forth came to just critique Christ's preaching, to just examine what he was saying. And then there was those that were just curiosity seekers. They saw him heal people. They saw him feed people. They got in on it, a little bit of it. They tasted of it. And good show. They were interested. These things were interesting. So they went. And then there were those who were really, really desirous to hear this man speak. They really wanted to know what he was saying. They were really interested. They were people with real problems, and they wanted real answers. And this appeared to be a real man before them who was dealing with them in reality. And it's the same now. I said this before, that they're basically those three types of people in here this morning. Sunday morning crowd. There's people that are here to possibly been forced to come, whatever reason, compelled to come, whether it be a young person or a wife or a husband or a daughter or a son or whoever, forced to come. And they're just going to sit here and just be critical, just examine what I say and maybe shake your head on. Maybe. There may be somebody like that in this morning. And then there are those here just curious, or maybe just socially religious. And I admit it feels good to go to church on Sunday. Get dressed, something about it. Get dressed up and go to church. Somehow you feel good about yourself, don't you? That's bad. Bad. But nevertheless, we'll be religious on Sunday morning. And it's a good show anyway. It's a good show. Especially for a quarter. But then there are those who are really interested. Really interested. Real people. Real sinners. Real people with real problems who want real answers. And there seems to be a man standing up here before them. It's a real man who's not in this thing for money or whatever. Or not trying to impress anybody, but really is trying to tell the truth. And you want to hear. You want to hear what God's Word says. You're really interested in what God's Word says. That if there is a God, you want to know Him. If this Bible is God's Word, you want to know it. You want to believe it. If Christ really came, you want to know Him. You want to believe that, don't you? And like I said last week, and I said it again this morning, no matter what reason you are here, you are here. And it's not an accident. If there is a God, and there is, I hate to use that term, if there is, there is a God, and He is God. He does things on purpose, and you being here, me being here, is on purpose. And like we talked about earlier this morning about the burden of this thing, the seriousness of it, the responsibility of it. Some of you weren't here. We're accountable. You're going to be accountable. I'm going to be accountable. The reason it's heavy to me, the reason I dare not, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I dare not play games. I wouldn't be in the shoes of some of these preachers for all the money in the world when they stand before God someday. I dare not preach anything but what His Word says right here. Not for love of money. Not for the love of men or money. I dare not preach anything else. Add to it or take away from it. I dare not. Whether you believe that or not, that's the way I feel about it. And you're here listening to it. And you're responsible. I'm responsible for what I'm about to say, the things I'm saying. I better tell the truth. And you're responsible for what you hear. Now, I'm going to give you a parable. We read it. If I don't preach, you read it with me. His word will not return void. It'll accomplish something. That's the burden of this thing. His word accomplishes something. It will not return void. It actually accomplishes something. It actually either hardens people, adds to their condemnation, or it breaks. It saves. Now, I'm going to give you a parable, and you've already heard it in your hearing, in the hearing of your ears. I'm going to give you a parable that the Lord Himself told on the Lord's Day. And I'm going to tell it. 2,000 years later, here I am, telling the same story. It's full of warnings, and it's full of promises. Now, are you going to listen? I pray, God, I hear this. I pray you hear it. Verse 1. Now, Christ answered. And he's talking to this Sunday morning crowd. Saturday morning then. He said unto them, now he spake unto them by parables, stories. Now, Christ spoke in these stories, yet these weren't mere stories. Christ, God doesn't tell little tales. Once upon a time. Little fairy tales. These are divinely inspired, eternally wise stories that tell the truth of the way things really are, that just tell it in simple terms to where we simplings can understand it. What he's telling here is the truth. This is the way it is. Not merely a story, but this is the way it is. He spoke in parable. He said, verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king. Now, here we go again. It says John came preaching the kingdom of God. It says Christ came preaching the kingdom of heaven. What this is, what we're doing here is talking about the dominion of the king. We're talking about this gospel. This word is talking about the dominion of God Almighty. There is a king. There is a king. There is a God who reigns and rules and controls all things, who made all things, and in whose hands we are, and to whom we will be accountable someday. There is a king. And he's talking about the kingdom, the dominion of this king, a certain king. You see that? There is the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king. There's only one king. Like I said, here we go again. Every message starts this way. A certain king. There were many usurpers. There used to be little kings, and today we've got a little queen. Little queen, little prince. He's going to be a little king someday. He's no king. He's a usurper. He's a measly, miserable, manly monarch. He's not the king. There's one king. He's the king of kings. He's the king in whose hands the heart of the kings is. There is a king. There is a God. An absolute, ruling, reigning monarch. And we don't know much about this because we don't have a king in our day. But there is a king. God is king. God, come thou almighty king, the song says. Help us thy name to sing. The dominion of the king. That's what this is all about. So this certain king, a certain king, our Lord, it says he made a marriage for his son. This king had a son. It says a son. Evidently he had one son. He was his only begotten, well-beloved son. He loved this son. He was the apple of his eye. And for the honor and the glory and the happiness of his young prince of a son, he determined to make a marriage for his son. He wanted to honor and glorify his son by giving him a bride. And our king, God, he has a son. He has a son. One son. Well beloved. Oh my, he's the apple of his eye. He's really the only son, the only man ever approved of God. The well beloved. Apple of his eye, as well he should be, because he's the fairest of 10,000. He's the bride. There's many shining ones in heaven, but he's the bride and morning star. And many lilies in the valley, but he's the lily of the valley that shows his lovely head. Right? He's the rose of Sharon. He's the only begotten, well-beloved Son of God. And God loves him above anything and everything and everybody throughout this universe. Much like you love your children. Much more than you love your children. And God, in honor and glory and for the happiness of his Son, just like this king, determined to have a marriage for his Son, to give him a bride. A bride. And so that he would have many children. You grandparents, your children as children are your glory also, aren't they? I see it in your face. I see it. But God Almighty made a marriage for his Son. He had one son. One son. He's the fair prince, the heir to the throne, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. That's who he is. And for his honor and glory, he planned this marriage. Now listen, stay with me. Remember, I'm not just telling a story here. I'm not just being a pulpiteer here. Christ told this story. God came down here and he told this story. Now he said, this is the way it is. I'm going to tell you a little story so you'll remember it. It's hard to remember otherwise. But I'm going to tell you, and now this is the way it is. God is the king. His Son, whom he loves dearly, God decreed and purposed and planned to give him a bride. To betroth him a bride, to be married to him. All right? Now, back in olden days, kings, powerful people, they just chose who they wanted to be their son. If they had a son, an heir to the throne, they just chose, say if Joe was king, there's Stephen there, his son. Stephen, if he's his only son, he loved him dearly. Honored him, wanted everybody else to honor him and love this son of his. And Joe just said, I'm going to give my son a bride. And he chose a woman. Joe did. Not Stephen. Joe. Joe just looks around and there she is. She's going to be my son's bride. Now, if Joe was all powerful, it's done. Right? It's done. Back then, when they betrothed a woman to marry the son, it was done. And nobody, not that woman. Aren't you glad it's not that way, Steve? Wonder what Joe would have picked. I believe he'd have picked you, wouldn't you, Joe? You'd have picked Mary. But this is the way it is. God betrothed, he chose a people. Like it or not, I happen to like it. He chose a people, a bride for his son. And it's done. You see, whatever God thinks, he's God. Whatever God thinks, it's done. You and I make our plans and our purposes and so forth. We say, tomorrow I'm going to do this. We don't know if we're going to do it at all. We try. God says, whatsoever he purposed, he said, I purposed it, I'll do it. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning, the scripture says. God in the beginning said, I'm going to give my son a bride. For his glory, his honor, his happiness, for my glory, my honor, I'm going to give him a bride. I choose this one, I choose that one. You can't do that. Yes, I can. I'm king. I choose this one, I choose that one. Now, they're my sons. Now, the marriage hadn't taken place yet, but they were married. You reckon there's any possibility they weren't coming to be married? Weren't going to be the bride? No possibility. They're married. That's the way it is. That's the way the scripture says. I love it that way. God chose the people. And I happen to be one of them. So, hey, you know, who's not? Who's elect and who's not? I believe. Oh, if we believe, he elects us. No! He elects us to believe. I'd never believed if he hadn't elected me. That's how I know. I never chosen him if he hadn't chosen me. That's how I know. Because there was a time I was not interested, and then there was a day I was interested. That tells me he chose me. Don't argue about that. Just ask yourself, do you believe that? Okay. That's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19, verse 9, talks about the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. It's true. It's not just fairy tale. The Scripture said there's going to be a Marriage Supper of the Lamb, of Christ. And this preaching of the gospel, and this whole thing, this marriage was planned by God. He betrothed a bride. He chose His people. It was prepared by the Son. The Son came down here to make preparations, just like some of you ladies would prepare for the wedding. And then the Holy Spirit, later on, it's consummated in heaven. He brings them home to greet the bride, and they meet together. Same thing. And this preaching of the gospel, what I'm doing this morning, is just merely issuing out the wedding proclamation. Here it is. There's a marriage. Taking place. It's taking place. A marriage. And that's all this gospel preaching is. I'm just telling you, there's a marriage. And whenever the true gospel, the word of truth, is preached, we tell who God is. He's the King. We tell who we are. We're nothing. We tell who Christ is, Son of the King, the heir to the throne. All right? So this king, verse 3, this king made a marriage, and he sent forth his servants. Now, come on. His life, your life's at stake here. This king sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, to call them. Now remember, this is a king. Kings don't invite people. I'm not inviting anybody in here. Please accept Jesus. I'm not inviting anybody here to please believe this. I'm telling you. You best be believing this word right here. That's the reason I keep insisting that this is not just fairy tale. This is the Son of God talking here. Christ is talking here. The Son of God walked this earth and he uttered some words, and every one of them were of divine, eternal consequences. We best be pricking up our ears. All right? Now, he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And God does not invite anybody. That's the name of this, the title of this message is the King's Edict. Edict means order, command. Kings don't invite people, do they? I looked up the word bidden. It's not invite. Look it up. I invite you to get you a Strong's Concordance and look it up. The word bidden there is not invite. Nowhere in the Scriptures will you find God inviting anybody to do anything. Nowhere. The Scripture says God commands men everywhere to what? Repent. The Scripture says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. You shall. We will. Right now or later, we will. We will worship God. Why? God said it. The Scripture says, kiss the Son, lest He be angry. The Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Then say, please, does it? The Scripture says, now come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. This is the difference between a subpoena and an invitation. God Almighty, a king, does not issue invitations. Any more than a judge, when you're on trial, says, would you please come to court? We'd like to have you. No, a judge sends a subpoena and says, you best be in court or suffer the consequences, right? That's what this word is saying here. On the authority, if any man speak, let him speak of the authority of the oracles of God. That's what I'm doing right now. On the authority of this word right here, God doesn't invite anybody. I'm not inviting anybody in here this morning. I'm not saying it's a prerogative that you enjoy. I'm not saying that it's up to you. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, though, that God commands us to believe. And He did this by sending His servant. Did God say, look at this, listen to this. He said to Noah, Noah, would you please build me an ark? I'd like to have a boat. I'm thinking about saving some folks. And what do you think about it, Noah? You think,
Noah, build an ark.
Well, that's not the way he said it, but he did say it.
Noah, build an ark.
But.
Build an ark.
But it's never rained.
Build an ark.
Not an invite, was it? Moses,
Moses, you slay a lamb. I'm going to kill the firstborn.
But.
You better kill him. You better kill a lamb.
I'm coming through.
Abraham,
come out from your people.
But Mom and Dad aren't going to like it.
Abraham, do we invite our children to do what we want them to do? Honey, please, would you please mind Daddy?
Does Daddy say that to you, Hannah? You know better than that. No, I don't. You know better than that. See, that's how confused people are, isn't it? That's how confused people are. That's the way people do treat their children. Anybody with any sense doesn't. They say, honey, you best be doing what Daddy says.
Right?
What about God? We make God out to be less than us, don't we?
We make God out to be less than a man.
He can't move. He can't do what he wants to. He can't. He tries. He's a poor God.
Don't you feel so sorry for him? He loves you so much.
That boils my blood, what that does. Matthew, you follow me. Did Matthew get up? When he came to that man to receive a custom, Matthew, follow me. Did he go? Get out of from there now and come on. Zacchaeus, come down. Zacchaeus, would you please, come on, I want to enter into your life. I want to be your personal Savior. I want to come eat with you. Got anything to get? Zacchaeus, come on down. I must come to your house today. Because you're a child of Abraham. And aren't you glad, Zacchaeus? That's me. I'm short. Oh, boy, I would tell you the story, but I'm not. Zacchaeus, come down. And all men and women have heard this proclamation from servants of God. Creation, he sent his servants out. Everybody here has heard these servants anyway. Creation, the things that are clearly seen being made by God. It's, like I said, only a fool. The scripture said that. I didn't say it. The fool said, no, God. I mean, look at your thumb. Look at the fingerprint on your thumb. Just put your thumb on a window and look at the fingerprint. Not one like it. In all the world, of the billions of people who've lived on.
Chance, luck, evolution?
Come on.
What a foolish notion. God! Creation. Providence. It rains on the just as well as the unjust. You've been fed, clothed. You've got everybody in here breathing. That's God's air. You're going to go home and enjoy a belly full of food. That's God's food. Where'd it come from? It grows. The clothing on your back, where does that come from? It grows. Your houses you live in, where do they come from? They grow. Everything we have just grows. Boy, we sure are lucky, aren't we? I'm just sure glad evolution did it. God. Only a fool would not acknowledge that, right? Providence, everything you have. And the Word of God, we've seen it. Most of us have seen it and heard it. Paul said they've heard it. They've heard it. They've heard at least somebody.
We've all heard
that there's a man named Jesus. That this
somebody says there's a God and there's a Bible. We've all heard this.
All right. All bidden. Every one of us are bidden. This is the way we've heard these things. That's the command. This bidding is the proclamation. It's like me posting on the door. Boom. There it is. Now, listen. This is the thing I'm talking about in this thing of hearing the gospel. How do you suppose, over in Russia, before all this change took place, if that totalitarian government posted something on the board, rules, regulations, or whatever, say, this is the way it's going to be, how do you think people would react to that? You just look at the newscasts and all. People are huddled around, thousands of people huddled around looking at that one little piece of paper. What's it say? That's what I'm doing this morning. And I'm not begging you. I'm telling you, we better be listening. What's this say? What's this saying? Is this saying to me? Is this talking to me? Is this something for me? Now, he told them, behold, in verse 4, They were bidden, but they would not come. They would not come. It says over in Luke 14 that they all, with one accord, would not come. You know, they held a poll. They held a poll. 1,000 people were interviewed, a Harris poll. 1,000 people were interviewed and were asked to exercise their free will, whether or not they would accept or reject God. You know what the outcome was? 1,000 people rejected him. Nobody got that joke. That's our free will. It says all of them rejected him. The bidden. Every one of us in here at one point or another said no. I believe that. Right? All of them. Says they all said, no, I'm not coming. Thank God. I mean, thank God that one day he said, yes, you are. Right, Joe? Now, he sent forth some other servants, verse 4. Some other servants. Now, that was God's creation and providence and so forth. He sent forth the law and the prophets. He sent forth other servants. This king, he said, now you tell them. Don't ask them. Don't plead with them. Don't beg and cry with them. Don't sit $10 bills under the seat. You tell them. Recognize those words? Behold! Behold your God. Behold yourselves. And behold my servant. Sound familiar? Tell them. Behold. I have prepared a dinner. Now listen, this is King talking here. He's posted on the wall. I've prepared a dinner. I did it. Salvation is of the Lord. He saves. You remind them of that. He saves. He chooses. I've prepared a dinner. And he says here, my fatlings, my oxen, and my fatlings are killed. Christ is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's the sacrifice of God. He says God shall provide himself a lamb, right? Listen to me. This is the gospel. God provided himself a lamb and a sacrifice and a righteousness. And Christ was that righteousness. He was that man approved of God. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, to make him an offering for sin. Now there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. God made one sacrifice of his son. Not our morality, not our good works, not our religion. Only Christ is the acceptable, suitable sacrifice of God. And Christ was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He was the substitute. He was the sacrifice for all people that believe on him. Because without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Christ came in time and he actually shed his blood. He satisfied God's justice. Then he went back to heaven to await the proceedings of this marriage. The marriage of all he purchased. And the king says here the same thing. Now all things are ready. There remaineth no more to be done. Modern religion says you've got to do something. Modern religion says you've got to bring something to God. You've got to be so good. You've got to be so bad. Some people say that. You've got to repent so long. You've got to believe so hard. You've got to do this. You've got to quit your drink. You've got to do this. You've got to bring it. No, it doesn't say you've got to do nothing. It says he's got to do something for you. He says, I've prepared a dinner, and my oxen and my fatlings are killed. It's all, now, the only thing you got to do, verse 4, is come. That sounds too easy. Better he ain't asking. Come to the marriage. Come. All things are ready. Aren't you glad? Ready. You mean I don't have to? I don't necessarily feel religious. There's nothing said about feeling religious. It says it's already come. Now, I remind you now, he doesn't invite. Come to the marriage. Verse 5. But they made light of it. We will not have. I don't like this king. Never did. Never will. I won't have this man reign over me. That's what they said. I don't like that king. I won't have him reign over it. They're saying the same thing now. I don't like a God like that. I won't have a God like that. My God's not like that. Oh, yes, your God is like that. Because your God's the God of the Bible, and I'm just preaching what the Bible says about God. But I don't like his food. That's what these people probably said one by one. I don't like that food. I like my cooking better. Cow pie stew. That's what it is. That's what our morality and our works and our religion is. I like it better. Dead works sandwiches. I like it better than this sufficient, effectual righteousness provided by. I like what I do better. That's what men are saying when they reject this gospel. Don't they? And men say that today. I don't believe in this sovereign God like that. I don't like this gospel you preach. I've got some works. I've got some goodness. I've got some morality. And surely there's something I can do. I just don't believe that gospel. And they make light of what I'm saying this morning. And it says here, they went their way, verse 5. They went their way. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. Whatever his way was, you can be sure it's the way of all flesh. It's the way of destruction and death. They went their way. Not your way, my way. Right? Well, verse 6. And the remnant, the rest of them, some of them, took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. And Paul said, the apostle said, we're counted as an offscouring of the earth. And that's what people think about preachers. Rightfully so about most preachers. They're wimps, they're worthless, wicked, every foolish alliteration you can think of. They're the worst scum of the earth, most preachers are. And they'd kill ones now today if they could. Verse 7. Now, when the king heard this, he was wroth. And he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up that city. And there's coming a day when all flesh will be destroyed. But the scripture says he's going to burn it up. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. Then, verse 8, he said to his servants. Now, he had a couple more servants. Then he said to his servants, now the wedding is ready. There's going to be a marriage. The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. And we're not worthy. None are worthy. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God, right? There's nobody worthy. Why are you a believer? Why are you a Christian? Because you're worthy? Because you believe more than somebody else? No. Nobody's worthy. Nobody's worthy. They're not worthy. Now the king says this. Here it is. Verse 9. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you find, you bid him to the marriage. Now he says this, Terry, to his son. He sent his son down here. He says to his son, now you go. You go down there into that cesspool of iniquity. You become a man. You go down there and do for them all that I've chosen, what they could not do for themselves. You go down there and you live the life that I demanded them. You can satisfy, justify these people. And then you go to the cross and die for them, because that's what they deserve. Die for them. And then you come on back home and you just wait
until the proceedings start.
You do that. And the son did.
Christ came. He came. He lived. He died.
And back to heaven. He's seated. Says he's expecting. Waiting on his bride. But the Father gave him. Waiting on him. And then he says to the Holy Spirit, he says, now Holy Spirit, you take this gospel and you take so-and-so, and you knock her or him right between the eyes with it. You pierce it down into their heart and say, hey, there's something to this. Pierce that old hard heart, that old fleshly, worldly heart. Create an interest. Convict them of their sins. Show them who God is, who Christ is, and then you bring them. You bring them. And they're all coming. The scripture says they're all coming. All saved, none lost. That's what Christ said there. John 17:12, wasn't it? I've kept them. I've kept them all. Gather them. Verse 9, that's what it says. Now you go therefore in the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid them to the marriage. Go into the highways, and that's literally where I was. Literally. I got many stories about my life, but I was a young teenager, 18, 19 years old. Care less about God, Bible, all this. But I was real interested in cars. I was a car buff from just a boy. One time I went to an auction in Columbus, Ohio. I was wanting to go up there and buy me a car off the auction block. A couple of men in our church owned a car lot, and they were the only ones that could buy them. Only dealers could buy cars. So they were going to let me go with them, a couple of men of our church. They were going to let me go, and they were going to buy me a car, whatever one I chose. You know, I dreaded that. It was a three-hour trip up there and a three-hour trip back. I had to ride with one of those men up there and back. I dreaded that. I just knew. I just knew they were going to talk to me, try to get me saved. I just knew it. I dreaded it. I thought, oh, but I want a car. So I'll put up with anything and get me a car. Camaro, blue Camaro, four on the floor. And sure enough, I got in the car, and it wasn't an hour. Till that fella started talking to me. And it was uncomfortable, and the air was thick. Started talking to me. It's on the highway, tooling down the highway. I'd rather been listening to the Rolling Stones. But I was listening to this little boy talk to me about Christ. And it began to break my heart. I realized never the same since. Something happened. He created a spark in me. From that day forward, we got back. Oh, sure, I went back out on the highway again, but is that little word in season that was poked into my head on the highway. I came to church. I listened, and bless God, one day he spoke to me. Out on the highway, he gathered me. Gather them. I'm from the east and the west, the far corner. Gather them down there. Good, that's what he says, good and bad. Some of you in church. You've been in church a long time. See that? Gather together as many as they found, both bad and good. Some of you have been moral all your life. Weren't like me, a wild, rebellious hippie. Some of you have been in church. Good, you know. This was my sister. I'd bring her up again. She was always this apple of mom and daddy's eye, and so goody two shoes, you know. Everybody thought, oh, she's got to be saved in church every Sunday. Had to save her too. She came weeping one day too, said, I'm a sinner. A self-righteous sinner, but a sinner. Gather them. And bless God, you're not going to come. This is what I was saying from the beginning. You're not going to come till he gathers you. Till he comes and he finds you. I didn't find God. Like I said, I was tooling all down the road. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-day. But he gathered me. I said, whoa, boy. Oh, hitherto have you come and no further. About face. Look me in the eye. Now come. And the wedding was furnished. That's how people get to heaven. If it's left up to man's free will, nobody would come. It says they all, with one accord, with one consent, made excuse. Oh, dang, I'm married. All kind of excuses. I hear people's excuses. Well, I'm in church today. Don't tell me your excuses, please. I understand you want me to know where you're at, and so well, please don't. I'm not the teacher. And I don't excuse people. Don't tell me. Please. Tell it to God. If you're in a good relationship with God, tell him. Don't tell me. And he'll properly deal with you accordingly. He'll tell you whether or not it's a good excuse or not. He'll tell you. All right, now look. I want every eye to look right here. Verse 11.
This is it. And when the king came, now this king came, the marriage was held. Everybody was gathered. Everybody was supposed to be there. Was gathered. And the king came in to survey the guests, to see the guests. He came in. Here's this king. Ha! Got all my subjects here. There's my son sitting on the throne. There he is. Hey, you. He pointed at something. You. Come here. Stand up. Come here, man. Me? Yeah. Yeah, you. And a man stands up. And the king looks at him and says, friend, how'd you come in here without a wedding garment? Now, he had a garment on. And like I said, it's probably one of those hospital garments. He had something on. Probably just a hat. He had knowledge. Naked from the neck down. Had a hat on, thought he was properly clothed. I know the doctrine. Don't I look good? You're naked. You don't have a garment on. And I say to you, listen to me. Listen to me, please. Every person in here. Someone in here. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever. And I'm not looking at anybody in particular because I think you're the one. But I do want to look at every eye here. Is somebody in here, maybe more than one, who's been coming to church a long time? Been hearing the gospel, but you don't have on a wedding garment. You see, this man was there. He looked like everybody else. He was eating the food, probably enjoying the wine, the food, having a big old time, enjoying the music, singing along with the rest of them. He didn't have on a garment. And the king, when the time came for judgment, judgment must first begin at the house of God, the scripture said. And he says, you don't have a garment. You're not in Christ. You're just religious. How? And we say, friend, how? Lady? How can you have been here so long? Can you have heard so many messages? How? Before whose eyes the Lord Jesus Christ has been so evidently set for, how can you be here and not be in Christ? I don't understand. And look what he says. He says he was speechless. And like I said about all the excuses, don't call on God. Don't tell me. Call on God. I'm speechless right now.
For folks.
Wow. How? How could you have heard the gospel so much and yet not believe it? How?
God knows.
And the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, cast him away, cast him in outer darkness. There's going to be some weeping going on. You talking about weeping? You trying to scare me, preacher?
I'm reading this book right here. Weeping. You talking about weeping. Oh, my soul. Is people going to give every fiber of their being to hear one more gospel message? Let me hear that again. I forget it. And now the moral of the story is in verse 14. Because many are called. Everybody in here has been called. You've heard what this book has to say this morning. As feebly as I've presented it, you've still heard it.
But few are chosen. According to God's word,
I'm going to give diligence to make my call in and election sure. I ain't going to play games. I'm going to give diligence. That's what it means by giving diligence to make your call in election sure. Don't play games with this. This ain't a laughing matter. Hear that baby crying?
Because he wants his mama.
There's going to be people be wanting their God. But he says, you calling? What if that baby's mama never came back? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. God said there's going to come a day when you're going to call.
I'm not going to hear you. He's calling right now. You say you're making this evangelical pitch. This is just what the Word of God says. He's calling right now. Today is the day of salvation.
Right now, the gospel's being preached. I'm proclaiming there's a wedding. I want to be a bride.
I believe this, Sherry. Not like I want to, not like I ought to, but I do believe it. Lord, help my unbelief. So I'm right here. Here I am. I'm seeking. I'm giving diligence to make my call in election sure. I'm going to read this book. I'm going to see what it says. I'm going to call on this God to save me. Whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to get in my closet. I'm going to be in the pew in case God speaks. He might speak to me. Because many are called. The few are chosen.
I'm going to be chosen.
I'll be chosen. You know how you know you're chosen? It's the reason it's a mystery. Because you believe. Why do you believe? Because you're chosen. How do you know you're not chosen? You don't believe it. You'll leave this building and say, let's go, honey, or whoever, let's go. So where are we going to eat today? Not show up tonight? On down the road, Jack. Go your own way.
For God's people, they hear his voice. They know it. They come back. They come back. Diligently seeking again. Right? Maybe I didn't hear it very clear this morning. I'm not sure if I believed or not. I'm going to be back and make sure I believe it this time.
If I never preach another message, you've heard it. My hands are clean from the blood of your soul. See why this is the burden? It's called the burden of the word of the Lord. The old prophets knew something about it. The new prophets know something about it too, Rick. The burden of the word. I watched people come through that door. I sat right there and watched person after person come through that door. I thought, my soul, do they know God? Will they come back through the door again? Baxter Selman preaches a dying man to dying man. It's never to preach again. Trying to scare you. Trying to influence you one way or the other. Yet I ain't. Because it's serious business. I'm serious about it. I'm serious about you. And I pray to God you're serious about you. That's what I pray. Am I being faithful? Am I being true? That's good advice. All right. Okay. Stand with me.